Difficult to make out any details. The diffused glow of a bank of arc lights made it even harder to see what was going on. Ryan stood with JB in the shelter of a clump of young conifers, weighing the odds. Behind them, they could hear the noise of several wags laboring up the rise toward their hiding place.
The farther out we get before first light, the better.
Yeah. If they found the bodies where we lifted the wag, they could have an ace on the line for us if we got a good tracker. I say we risk it.
Yeah, looks like they're all kind of busy out there. Walk steady and keep moving. Blaster's here.
As they neared the center of the raised causeway, the mist cleared a little, and they began to appreciate that it might not be so easy. But they were committed now, and behind them they could now see the lights of a half-dozen sec wags. They had to keep going. At least 50 men worked at repairing the earth slide, using shovels and iron buckets, most of them already slimed in thick mud. And a dozen or more armed and alert sec men kept them company.
Fire blast. Just get ready, JB. This could be a bad one.
They kept walking until they were level with the first of the guards. Then they stopped. Jack dumped the stolen wag among the trees. He helped Rick out and supported him as they crossed and recrossed the narrow river twice. They eventually reached the big house a little after 4 a.m. The boy was close to exhaustion, barely managing the bag of tools and the dying man. Doc Tanner saw them coming. He'd been dozing on the second floor landing and had been awakened by the excited barking of Zorro. Christy moved quickly to open the sturdy main doors, running out across the sodden turf to where Jack was struggling with Rick. Doc strode along at his best pace, and between them they managed to get the sick man into the house. On the threshold, Rick elbowed them aside, standing unsupported for a moment. He reached inside his mud-stained coat and unfurled the torn flag.
Good to be back in the land of the free.
He slipped to the parquet floor, deeply unconscious. Ryan and JB stopped. Just as they thought they'd succeeded in slipping past the work patrol, one of the segmen turned around and spotted them.
Don't draw. Better prisoners than chilled in the dirt. Think like you're deaf.
Ryan smiled at the rescue, shrugged his shoulders, and shook his head. The man shouted again, and gestured with the muzzle of the elderly 7.62mm Tokarev. Both Americans managed a nervous smile for the set man, trying to convey their willingness to do whatever it was he wanted, without actually having to do it. The Russian stepped closer and lifted the butt of the rifle in a menacing gesture, pointing to a pile of picks and forks and spades that lay in the trampled mud. Ryan nodded, walked forward, and picked up one of the shovels, followed by JB. Just for a moment, their apparent resistance had turned the heads of several of the other guards. Now, seeing their obedience, they went back to watching the members of the Subotnik work group laboring to restore the roadway. Ryan risked provoking more anger from the stocky guard by glancing behind him, over to the Ville side of the embankment where the group of wags had stopped. He wondered if this was the pursuit from Moscow. If it was, then it looked like their freedom was going to be measured in racing heartbeats. He and the armorer had both pulled up their hoods as they tried to pass the work gang, concealing their faces from the sec man who first stopped them and ordered them to start laboring. At JB's elbow, as they made their way to the bottom of the slippery path, Ryan talked quickly and urgently.
I think Semyonin could be close. These shit-dippers didn't spot us. Pocket your glasses and do whatever I do.
It was a long and desperate shot. Ryan paused for a moment, then reached up and slipped the leather patch from his left eye, wincing at the unfamiliar feeling of cold air and rain on the puckered, empty socket. At his side, JB palmed his glasses and dropped them into one of his pockets. The mud beneath their boots was slick and greasy, making the descent difficult. Several of the local Russians pressed into the work detail stopped for a moment to watch the two newcomers making their delicate way down to join them. Ryan had noticed that the mud at the edge of the river was particularly deep and noisome. Behind him, he heard one of the pursuing wags come skidding to a halt at the earthfall.
How long has this road been blocked, Comrade Corporal?
Just over an hour, Comrade Major Commissar. We have a work unit pressed into repair.
Zemyanin tugged at the dripping ends of his mustache. This was a holdup he couldn't possibly have anticipated, but it could prove a massive hindrance to his plans to capture the Americans.
You know about the stolen armored truck?
Yes, Comrade Major Commissar. It has not passed along the road since we have been here. The blockage would have stopped it. Since then, nothing has gone past us. Indeed, I said to my friend here, who also happens to be the sister of my wife's second cousin...
Your mouth, Corporal. Close it.
Yes, Comrade Major Commissar.
Zinyanyan's attention had been caught by a couple of local peasants, who he assumed were the latest volunteers for the Subotnik. They were trying to get down to the bottom of the earth slide, toward the surging and swollen river. The way they kept staggering, it looked as though at any moment they might go tumbling into the sticky mud. Bracing himself and holding his breath, Ryan deliberately allowed himself to lose his footing. He waved his arms, dropped the shovel, and uttered a great bellow of shock and terror. He contrived to snatch at JB's arm, bringing him down with him. The water was bitterly cold, and he rolled into it, immediately becoming soaked to the skin once more. The armorer also slid into the freezing water. This was all to the great amusement of the other workers and most of the Sekmen. Half turned from the group on the road and avoiding the glaring arc lights, Ryan struggled to pull himself out, succeeding only in toppling face down into the clinging, stinking ooze. Grigory Zinyanyan didn't laugh as he watched the two clumsy men staggering about, both eventually falling face first into the mud, though he permitted himself a momentary thin smile. As they emerged, the roars of amusement from the other workers and the set guards were redoubled. They were like the clowns who occasionally appeared with their crude street theater around the streets of the ville, until internal security had them removed for labor training and education. The taller of the two had thick curly hair, but it was matted to his skull with the mud, his face totally vanished behind a slimy mask. Only the whiteness of his teeth as he grinned sheepishly at his own discomfiture broke the dark image, and his companion, the shorter man with cropped hair, was no better.
Comrade Corporal! Comrade Corporal!
The man saluted, merriment vanishing from his face like butter off a hot knife.
Yes, Comrade Major Commissar.
The joke is over, Corporal. Get them back to work immediately. This road must be opened again so that we can pursue the American terrorists and saboteurs. Immediately!
Yes, Comrade Major Commissar. Immediately, Comrade Major Commissar. Whatever you say, Comrade Major Commissar.
Ryan and JB stood only a few yards away from the Sekmen and Zinyanyan.
Sounds like a brown pants job there.
Sure does. Guess we best start doing us some digging.
Yeah.
The main object of the exercise was to avoid any attention. Don't dig too slowly, and don't dig too fast. Don't do anything else to attract Zinyanyan's eyes. Ryan worked away, putting his back into the labor, shoveling up loads of the thick, wet earth. He threw it up the bank, where other men moved it higher, filling the gap in the road. A gap that had already been narrowed nearly enough for the leading wag to squeeze on by. He noticed that the first vehicle was a passenger wag that looked like the front half of an old Mercedes, with creative welding adding some unrecognizable parts onto the rear. Ryan paused for a moment to wipe sweat off his face, careful not to disturb too much the coating of mud that hid his empty eye socket. The back nearside door of the wag opened, and a bizarre figure came scuttling out, shambling along the trail, to stand near the pacing Zinyanyan. The mutie was very short, and had a filthy length of cloth wound around his lower face. Ryan was sure he recognized the man from Alaska. He glanced at J.